The Medrash, the Rabbeinu Bachaya brings a Medrash where the brothers came back to Yaakov and they said that they didn't tell him the truth that they had taken care of Yosef and whatever the process with the whole Din Torah and this and finally sold him to slavery. But they said Chayoroa Chalosu, that he was attacked by a wild animal. And they felt they had to give this wrong information to Yaakov. Beloved, so the Rabbeinu Chaya is quoting here from the Medrash, and he's marchim and explains it. Lomo lo gila lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why didn't Hashem reveal to Yaakov that Yosef was still alive and that this was really fabricated? The fisha hechrimu v'kilalo kol mi she'legale Yaakov. They made a cheren. They made a special thing that anyone who will reveal to Yaakov that Yosef is in fact still alive will be muhram. It's a terrible thing. They'll be, I guess, I don't know what, excommunicated in a sense. And v'shutfo HaKadosh Baruch Hu imoyim. They included HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them into that bezdin that made that decision. Ken kos perkut Rebbe Loza, ubir hadover. See, that's what it says in perkut Rebbe Loza. So he says, ubir hadover, ki imheim hoyu tisha. There were nine of them, nine achim. Ulekach shutfo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lahashlim la'asoro, v'echrimu hadover. Therefore, they included, how they did that, how that works, I don't know. But they included HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the minyan and said that this minyan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu included, is making a cherem on anyone who's going to reveal to Yaakov that Yosef, in fact, was not killed by a wild animal, but that they sold him and that he's still alive and so forth. V'al yihi dover kosher beinecho. He says, don't ask the following question. Shekein osav. He says, don't ask the question that, how did they do such a thing? Why did they do it? How were they able to do it? So he says, Shekein os Avram b'inyan stoim. Avram Avinu also did the same thing. Bikesh tzirufay shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu im tisha l'chol krach u'krach. If he would have nine people in each city, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be the tenth. He would include him as part of that number of that minyan, and therefore to save stoim. Omaloi ato tzadik shel oilam. You're the tzaddik of the world. You join together. We need 10 tzaddikim. There are only 9 tzaddikim in the city. You'll be the 10th man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they'll be saved. So that's the same thing the Achim did. They took HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were 9 of them. One of him. They included him in the minyan, and they made a cherem that no one should be megale that Yosef was in fact sold, that he's still alive. Vim teimer eino doime, and if you're going to ask the question, there's no comparison here. Ki zela hatzola vezela poronus. He says, what Avram Avinu did was to save Stoim. To save Stoim, he said he included HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the minyan, and therefore Stoim will be saved. Fine. So that's a positive thing. Vezela poronus. This was to make a cherem to punish anyone with this cherem if they reveal to Yaakov that in fact Yosef is still alive. So what's the comparison? He says, Ein ze puronus. He says, this cherem was not about puronus, was not a cherem to punish whoever reveals. Ki im hatzolo kol Yisroel. This was the saving of all of Klal Yisroel. The kovod l'Kodesh Baruch Hu, and bringing kovod and bringing honor to Hashem. Why? Ki pochadu lenafshom. They were afraid for their lives. She'im chas v'sholom yisgale hadover leYaakov. If this will be revealed to Yaakov, what they did, yekaleleim klola ulomis, that Yaakov might curse them, an eternal curse. V'nimtzu Yisroel hatluyim bezaro shel Yaakov b'teilim in olam. And therefore, Klal Yisroel, that is dependent upon the descendants of Yaakov, that's who Klal Yisroel is, the descendants of Yaakov, are to build the Klal Yisroel, betelim in oilam. Klal Yisroel will be destroyed from the world. And what? The ain me sheyefarsim oelikus. Who's going to proclaim the fact that there's an existence of a God and that there's a God in the world and that there's a Torah and there's everything, the whole mission of Klal Yisroel to be the light unto the nations? Who's going to do that? if they'll uproot and if they'll remove our name from Haoretz, u'matasa l'shimcha gadol, what's going to be with your great name, Hashem? The name of Hashem will be lost to the world if Klal Yisrael ceases to exist, because we are the messenger, we are the ones to bring this message to the world. So that's what they were afraid of. Al-Kain, Nira Lehem, Ki Atziruf, Ahashituf, Inyam Mukhrach. Therefore they saw that being Mitzarif HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the minion was a Mukhrach, a Hechach, they had to do it. Ho Yitzorach Govoya V'Hatzolaz Kol Yisrael. It was a spiritual need. It was a need for Ruchnius. It was a Hatzolah for Klal Yisrael, because of including HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the minyan, there will be a cherem. And because of this cherem, the fact that Yosef was sold and that not in a wild animal devoured him, that now will be kept from Yaakov. And therefore Yaakov would not come to curse Klal Yisrael and to end the existence of Klal Yisrael. And therefore this cherem was to assure the preservation of Klal Yisrael, was Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, with its mission to bring the message of Hashem to the world, and therefore it's deimet to what Avraham Avinu did. Just as Avraham Avinu was mitzaref HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a minion of 10 to save Stoim, here they were mitzaref HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a minion of 10 to make a cherem to prevent Yaakov from cursing Klal Yisrael, which would be the Hatzolah of all Yisrael. That's what it's saying. It goes on a little bit, but that's basically the idea. Seems a little strange. First of all, let's look at who these the Shiftei Kor were. What was their concern? They made a din Torah. They paskin that whatever it was that Yosef was a roidef and they had to kill him, and whatever they did what they thought was halachically appropriate. And however, there was a concern that Yaakov might disagree with them, and that if he finds out what they had done, that he might take action, and they were concerned about his cursing them. But yet, the justification for the cherem, the purpose behind the cherem, and the emotion that they felt, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, this was a Hatzolah of Klal Yisrael and a Kovel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because pochadu lenafshom, they were afraid for their lives. She'im chas v'sholom yiskale hadova liYaakov, yekalem kloloi lomis. Yaakov, if it would be misgale to Yaakov, he would curse them with a kloloi lomis. And what would happen? Nimtzu Yisroel hatluyim bezaro she'Yaakov betelem in ha'olam. Ve'ein mi she'farsim ho'elekus. The Klal Yisrael will be bottled from the world, and who's going to proclaim Hashem's existence and the message of Hashem to the world? Seems very strange that here they are in a situation where they did something, and they were concerned that if Yaakov would know about it, that he would curse them. Yet what was their concern? Their concern was not about their own situation. Their concern was not about that they would be cursed and they would suffer or they would die or they would be punished. The concern was that Yaakov Avinu might curse Klal Yisrael, might curse them, and through them a klola oilomis, an eternal curse, which would destroy all of Klal Yisrael. And then what? And then who's going to be mefarsim, the Shem Hashem in the world? It sounds very strange that people who had every reason, and this is part of it, to be concerned for their own lives, but it seems that Rabbeinu Bechaya clearly indicates that they had only one concern, one singular concern, and that was not for their own lives. Pochadu al nafsham, that's true, pochadu al nafsham, but what? That if Yaakov is going to find out, maybe he'll curse a klola oilomis and destroy all of Klal Yisrael, and then the message of Klal Yisrael, the messengers of Klal Yisrael, will not be able to bring the message of Hashem to the world. That's all they worried about. That was their only concern. And the truth of the matter is that this concern seems a bit far-fetched. Because first of all, if they were guilty of a mistake over here, and Yaakov Avinu felt that it was necessary to punish them, so he could have punished them, he could have cursed them. It doesn't have to be a klol olomis. It could be something for them, but yet they'll have descendants. First of all, they also knew that Yosef was alive, and I don't know how that played in anyway, but they were descendants, and Klal Yisrael would be able to continue. It didn't have to be a Klolo Ilomis. But it seems that they had a concern. Not only did they not have a concern for themselves, only for the future of Klal Yisrael, but that the concern seemed to be somewhat exaggerated, because Yaakov Avinu did have an alternative. His alternative could have been curse them and let Klal Yisrael continue. But the slightest possibility that, well, maybe it'll be a Klal Olamis, then that's already going to be a devastating thing for the world. That's all that concerns us. That's all we're thinking about. Not only that, Yaakov Avinu also thought about that. Yaakov Avinu was certainly as concerned for the future of the world and the future of Klal Yisrael as they were. So Yaakov Avinu certainly would have made a provision that even if he felt he had to curse them, whatever, but not to destroy Klal Yisrael. So here they're choshed that Yaakov Avinu is going to not only curse them, but curse them a klolo ilomis, and which is going to destroy Klal Yisrael and destroy the purpose of the whole creation and destroy the whole message of Yaakov Avinu that he received from his father, who received from his father, which was mamish the tachlis of Klal Yisrael, and it's so unlikely, it's so unreasonable, and it's so unselfish in terms of. Not about us. It's not about us. It's about an outlandish almost possibility that might happen, which that Yaakov Avinu might do. And besides that, Yaakov Avinu was the Rebbe. Yaakov Avinu knew what he was doing. Yaakov Avinu, first of all, they could trust wouldn't do it. And if Yaakov Avinu would do it, he understood that that's what had to be done. So what's going on over here? Seems there's two things. Seems number one that there's such a predominant concern. I mean, this is in Gedolei Le'olam, this is in the Shivtei Kor, but Mosei Giyomasei Lamasei Avoisei, we're supposed to also try to inspire ourselves a concern for the future of Klal Yisrael as the messenger to bring the Shem Hashem, to bring the message of Hashem and the existence of Hashem and the Malchus Shemayim to the world. And that is paramount. And that takes in the minds and the hearts of Gedolei Olam precedence over their own personal issues and their own personal survival. And even the most remote chance when, I would almost say that they could be sure that it won't happen. They could be sure that it won't, because Yaakov is not going to do it. And if Yaakov was going to do it, and so he so decided, and that was the ultimate Das Torah. But no, even the remotest possibility, they feel that sense of achrayus to the future of Klal Yisrael. That's the only concern they have. That is the concern, and because of that, this became a hatzola for Klal Yisrael. They included HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Chirim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems, it says they bring later here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't reveal, he revealed to Yitzchok, but not to Yaakov. Kodesh Baruch Hu honored the Chirim. That Chirim was honored. That Chirim was real. And even though Kodesh Baruch Hu certainly knew that that's not what was going to happen, but that was the Chirim. They made that Chirim. So I think that you see a few things. Number one, that's the paramount concern, that a person on the highest level is concerned for the future of Klal Yisrael and the future of the message of Klal Yisrael even more. Not even more, but completely drowning out any personal concerns. That's taka the tzura. And even though it's unlikely, and maybe even it's not going to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly knew it's not going to happen, but we still have to worry. We have to be concerned. Therefore, we're doing good. We are pochad nafshom, that there's the possibility of a klolo ilomis, which could destroy Klal Yisrael. That's paramount in our mind, no matter how unlikely, and no matter how much that Yaakov Avinu could be relied on even more than them to make sure that what had to be done right for Klal Yisrael would be done. So in reality, that's his problem. He's not going to do that, and if he does that, he knows what he's doing. But no. We have that sense of achrayus. We have, this is what we have to do. This is the way we feel. We're concerned with one concern. This is the paramount concern in our lives. And even if Yaakov Avinu, that's his cheshbon, what he's going to do, and even if it's very remote, and even if it's impossible, we still have to feel that concern and that commitment and that consideration for Klal Yisrael. And I think that we live in a time when, on the one hand, it might be said that, well, the future of Klal Yisrael is secure. You know, there's so many Moistis HaTorah, and there's so much Limud HaTorah, and there's so much Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and the numbers are greater than ever before. But I don't know if it's all about numbers. You know, sometimes quality is even more important than quantity. And maybe in the area of quality, there's serious concerns about, even though there's a haftocha that Torah will not be nishtakach li Yisrael, but we're still mechuyev to worry about that and to daiga for that. And that should be a paramount concern, that whatever we could do to assure the preservation of Torah to Klal Yisrael, and eventually the Klal Yisrael bringing the message to the rest of the world, that's something that should be part of our personal lives, to the extent maybe even more. I mean, we're not on that level, but it may be even more than personal concerns. And even if we could say that that's not really our achrayas, Yaakov Avinu is responsible. There are leaders who are responsible. There are greater people who are responsible. But we still have to feel that achrayas, and sometimes even act according to that achrayas, because it's a personal achrayas that everybody has to feel. It isn't an achrayas that we can turn to greater leadership and just say, "Well, it's your problem, and I'm not responsible for it." And I think that at a time like this, and especially when we face so many sakonas, both the physical sakonas that we face on every front and on every continent, and the spiritual sakonas that we face all over. Today in Eretz Yisrael, the battle for the spirit is as strong as it ever was in history, and it affects us in so many other places as well, that we certainly have to strengthen that sense of appreciation for that achrayas. And even if, as we begin to observe Hanukkah, we focus on the fact that the Torah by Klal Yisrael continues to exist under most dire circumstances, and even when it seemed that, if not for the Chashmonoim, the Ramban says, Torah mitzvahs would have been nishtakach mi Yisrael, but the Maisa, that Haftocha still remains, but that doesn't absolve us and exempt us from our responsibility to really deeply feel that pachad nefesh, that we too have an achrayas to assure that the Klal Yisrael survives, and that the Torah survives the Klal Yisrael, and that we remain poised and ready to bring that message to the world at the appropriate time.